This is Ozarks at Large. In the middle of the 19th century, John Fremont was about as famous as an American could be, and his wife Jessie was too. Fremont ventured west, cataloging the landscape between St. Louis and Oregon. His work dovetailed with the call for manifest destiny and the costs that could be associated with such a westward expansion, including violence and bigotry. The Fremont's spectacular notoriety may not have endured into 2020, but Steve Inskeep's new book, Imperfect Union, How Jesse and John Fremont Mapped the West, Invented Celebrity, and Helped Cause the Civil War, reminds us of just how large the couple's influence was in the mid-19th century. Inskeep, a host of NPR's Morning Edition, talked to us Friday morning about his new book. Our conversation began by acknowledging that 150 years after John Fremont's travels west first captured a nation's attention, his name is not nearly as familiar as other figures from the time.
I think you're exactly right, and even if you read history, you will read about him. He's in thousands of books, but usually briefly mentioned in books about the Civil War or the Old West, westward expansion, that sort of thing. He's in thousands of books, described as super famous and super ambitious, and sometimes his wife, Jessie Benton Fremont, also appears in these narratives. But maybe you don't get a very vivid or deep explanation of why he was so famous. This is a story of a supremely famous and ambitious American couple who invented a very American kind of celebrity and also did really substantive things. They were central characters in what was called Manifest Destiny, a westward expansion. John Charles Fremont was a U.S. Army officer who was exploring the American West. His job was to go out there and map things like the Oregon Trail. Later, he went into Mexican-controlled California and began or was involved in the process of taking it over by the United States. So he's out there doing real things, but his true mission, at the beginning especially, was not to discover anything particularly new, which he didn't. In fact, he got sensitive about that as time went on. His job was to publicize through his maps, and also by going back east and writing these amazing lyrical accounts of his adventures in the West, which were meant to entice Americans to settle the West as a way of taking it over. This was the vision of his father-in-law, this very powerful U.S. Senator, Thomas Hart Benton, who had been a newspaper man himself at one time and knew all about publicity. And through his vision, John C. Fremont told the story of going out west in a way that his accounts could be excerpted in newspapers, they could be printed as popular books, and they were, which became kinds of guidebooks for people loading up their covered wagons and going along the Oregon Trail. And he wrote this story in a way that he was always at the center of it. As he was making the West more famous, he was making himself more famous.
You mentioned that he was sensitive about not finding something new, but he was meticulous in the map finding. He wouldn't put something on a map unless he had seen it himself, which was not the norm.
No, it wasn't. There was a tendency at that time to, and understandably so, because the continent was so large and people had traveled all over it. But if you were an individual map maker, where would you find the people who would be reliable to tell you? And so you would put things on a map that you had heard, or some fur trapper would come into St. Louis and there'd be a guy adjusting and adding to a map there. And the fur trapper would say there was a mountain a certain number of days west of some other mountain. And how exactly do you measure those miles, you know? And there were rivers on maps that didn't even exist. They were just rumors of rivers and they would get on maps. And Fremont, although he was an amateur, not formally trained as a cartographer, a map maker, had learned at the feet of a man named Nicolet, a Frenchman who had come and mapped the source of the Mississippi River, among other things. And having learned how to do this, if the map was blank, if there was an area of the map that was white space, he and his men would go across it, and they would leave most of that space blank. They would only map the trail that they themselves had covered and a little bit of the landscape to either side that they could see.
I guess he was an enemy of fake views.
Yes. I mean, it's something that you think about as a journalist. You have to be careful to observe all that you can yourself, and where it's not possible to observe all that you can yourself, to double-check and triple-check and quadruple-check your sourcing and also make it clear to the listener or the reader what your source is.
As amazing as John Fremont's life was, Jesse, his wife, has, I would argue, an even more amazing life when you consider the options for women in the mid-19th century.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's an unusual story. because not just because she was influential. There were a lot of influential women in Washington quietly and behind the scenes, but because she was so open about it, she became so public in her involvement in politics. Jessie was the daughter of this powerful senator, Thomas Hart Benton. He already had one daughter when she was born, and he was expecting a son, and he had resolved to name the son after his father. He was disappointed to find out it was a girl, but also a stubborn guy, and so he named her after his father anyway, just a slight change of spelling, Jessie, J-E-S-S-I-E. And Jessie later wrote in a memoir, "My father early gave me the place a son would have had." When she was a little girl, she would follow him out hunting and carry the game bag in which there'd be a dead bird that he had just shot. She would follow him to the United States Senate when he had work to do. She would follow him even to the White House when he was visiting various presidents, starting with Andrew Jackson. She was richly and deeply involved in his career in the way that you would expect a son to be in this time of much more rigid gender roles. There came a time, though, when her father tired of this. As a teenager, she cut off her hair and said, "I just want to live life as your assistant." Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, it's time to grow back your hair and become a woman now. Men will not be attracted to a woman with short hair," he said, according to a memoir that Jessie wrote much later. And she did end up eloping, this young U.S. Army lieutenant, John Charles Fremont, who became the famous explorer. She was unable to be his assistant, so she married a man who was destined to assist him in his mission, his vision of settling the American West and capturing the Pacific coast and putting a seaport there where Americans could trade with Asia. In a way, she did become his assistant. As a grown-up, she sat in on his meetings. She helped him to translate documents. And she was also forever helping her husband as his secretary, as the editor of his brilliant writing, sometimes his co-writer or ghostwriter, also as his political advisor and representative when he was away from Washington.
And it's amazing what we're talking about, this manifest destiny. If someone gets on a plane today in St. Louis and flies to Portland, they complain about the long flight.
Yeah.
Going from St. Louis to Oregon during this Oregon fever time is crazy.
Yeah, it's months and months, and Oregon fever is the right term. Partly because of John C. Fremont's writings, I believe, along with other reasons, people were very excited about the idea of going west, very excited about the idea of going to Oregon, even though it was a horrible, horrible experience. Now, Fremont's reports gave directions to do this safely just by showing how he had done it and suggested that the landscape was not quite as forbidding as some people feared it would be, but it was nevertheless an extremely dangerous trek. They would forever be fearful of Indians. Unnecessarily, I learned, when you read Fremont's accounts, he's actually being aided by Indians all the time, even though he is worried about Indian attacks, and sometimes there are fights, and sometimes they're started by Fremont. But they're worried about Indians, they're worried about the landscape, they're worried about the mountains. You have to worry about the winter, you have to worry about snow. And on some of his expeditions, Fremont's men became trapped in snowy mountains and had to fight their way out, and some of them did not make it.
Imperfect Union, How Jessie and John Fremont Mapped the West, Invented Celebrity, and Helped Cause the Civil War. Finally, did that subtitle when you were writing it frighten you? Because that's a lot.
The subtitle came late in the process, and when I put the subtitle on it, I knew the material and believed in it. I knew that he had mapped the West and had promoted the West. I knew that they had invented, they weren't the first famous people, but they had invented a new kind of celebrity, an American kind of celebrity, where you haven't achieved already some great position of eminence. You're not a famous president or a king or a victorious general. You're someone who is making yourself famous through the expanding news media, at the very same time you're doing the things that are supposed to make you famous. He was promoting his exploits from even before the beginning of his first expedition. And there is something very, very modern about that. Helped cause the Civil War, yes, because ultimately he was so famous that he was a presidential nominee. He was the first ever nominee of the Republican Party, which was founded in the 1850s to oppose the expansion of slavery. And the rise of that party was seen as so threatening by Southern slave states that it led quite directly to the South seceding from the Union than firing the first shot ultimately in the Civil War. Fremont ran for president in 1856, lost, but followed the same political strategy essentially that Abraham Lincoln did when he won 4 years later.
Steve Inskeep, congratulations on the book. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Glad to do it.
Steve Inskeep is the author of the new book, Imperfect Union, How Jesse and John Fremont Mapped the West, Invented Celebrity, and Helped Cause the Civil War. He is also a host of Morning Edition on NPR. He talked with us Friday morning.